Hey, it's Kathleen and Shannon here, and this is Get in Her Lane.
We are two automotive professionals diving deep into why women are so underrepresented in this industry and trying to make a positive change.
So ride along with us as we discuss ideas and takeaways that can help everyone further this effort in the automotive world and beyond.
Welcome back to another episode of Get in Her Lane. Kathleen, how's it going?
I am doing great, Shannon. Thanks for asking. Still riding high after our last great episode with Michael Alf and his team. A huge thank you to all those who reached out after the episode. It's super exciting for Shannon and I to think that some of you out there may be experimenting with the remote work option for your teams.
Yes, that was such a fun and informative conversation. So it's so good to hear some of our listeners enjoyed our conversation with one of the OGs of remote work. So we're always trying to bring these different perspectives to the pod, and Michael and his team definitely delivered on that.
And speaking of unique perspectives, today's guest has a wealth of knowledge and experience all across automotive. She spent time in engineering, manufacturing, and now is diving into the electrification space. So Shannon, can you tell us a little bit more?
Yes, we're going to dive right into our guest today because I know Kathleen and I are both so excited. Today, we are going to be speaking to Susan Elkington, the Senior Vice President for Electric Vehicle Supply at Toyota Motor North America. Susan's passion and her knowledge is so apparent in this interview, and it will really shine through to all of you as you listen to her speak about an array of different topics. She is truly so inspiring. And if you came to this podcast looking for a female role model in the industry, Susan is it.
Absolutely. There is so much we can learn from Susan, and we're so grateful for the opportunity to pick her brain. So without further ado, let's get into it. Well, Susan, we are so, so glad to have you with us here today. To start, can you share a little bit about your remarkable career journey in automotive and how you became the president of Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky and most recently the senior vice president for electric vehicle supply?
Well, I am so excited to be here today and to share a little bit about my journey and then also where Toyota is going related to electrification. But for me, my journey started way back in 1998, and actually probably a little bit before then when I became an engineer. I grew up in a very small rural community in Indiana, in a farming community where we were vertically integrated because the whole family did some part of either raising the animals, making the grain, make butchers or whatever else. And I had a teacher that encouraged me to go into engineering. And so that's how I started. And I went into engineering having no idea what an engineer did. Went into the electronics industry for about 5 years, and then Toyota built a plant 45 miles from my hometown. Mm-hmm. And so I applied, got my job offer as an engineer, and went into this facility that was just concrete and a walls, and that was it. Absolutely no equipment. And as a production engineer, I helped support the installation of all the equipment and processing setup for the very first Toyota Tundra.
Wow.
And that's where I started my journey with Toyota. I stayed at Indiana for 16 years, starting in 1998, and I left after going to many different departments in press and stamping and also administration, and I left as the vice president of manufacturing. And then I went on a journey that I never imagined. I spent 3 years in Japan at our global headquarters with the opportunity to become the first female general manager at a global headquarters, leading
That's
a
incredible.
Division. Yeah. I rotated through several divisions of production control and logistics to learn that part of the business. Finally, as the production control divisional general manager, supporting our 53 plants around the world and leading through crises and production allocations and also many, many product launches. And then finally being able to come back to the United States to lead our Kentucky facility for the last 6.5 years. And lastly, just in July, being able to get the promotion to senior vice president of electric vehicle supply. It's a brand new journey for us, but I feel it's very important that we have a synergy between our whole supply chain in order for us to be successful in this transition. Using all that knowledge that I've gained over all these years, plus my enthusiasm for manufacturing in general and building great products.
Well, first of all, congratulations on the new role. That's so exciting. And I know we're going to dig into that a little bit later. But first, I mean, clearly just such a long journey with Toyota that has taken you all over the globe, it sounds like. And I'm sure that's brought some unique challenges with that. So as a female leader in automotive manufacturing, what were some of the significant challenges you faced throughout your career and how did you overcome them?
Coming from the electronics industry, where definitely there are more females, to the automotive industry was a change for me, especially as an engineer. And I didn't realize initially what I had done to try to fit in. I cut my hair short. I changed the color of the clothes that I wore. I learned to play golf, and I really do not like golf.
I think Kathleen and I are still working on that one. So we'll take some lessons.
Our golf game needs some
Oh, don't take them from me. When I parred my own hole all by myself, I said, I'm done. I'm good.
That's your benchmark. You're good.
Yeah. And, you know, so it was really about finding myself and finding my voice and, you know, really looking to other leaders that were in the industry. I have never in my whole entire career worked for a female.
Wow.
So I never had a direct supervisor or anybody in my line of reporting to look up to. So I looked outward, but then also I had some unbelievable mentors and sponsors that were male that really helped open doors for me. So I think that is one of the key things for a lot of women is that they don't know how to find themselves. And when you're not finding yourself, you really can't be yourself and you don't perform to your highest level. And so I really encourage people to reach out to others, join organizations to be able to find that. But then also, you know, there's a lot of males that want to support because guess what? Males have wives and they have children and daughters and sisters and they want them to succeed just like they want you to succeed. I think that is one of the key items. And with that, I also have some great coworkers that have been unbelievable supporters of me and have given me words of encouragement. We have these couple of phrases that we tell each other whenever we're thinking, oh, we can't do this. One is the Q-tip, and that's Millie Marshall, if you ever know that name. But it means quit taking it personally.
Oh.
As women, we often take things personally. Yep. The guys can forget it, go off, and you know, next day, don't even think about it. But we're still stirring and thinking, oh, I should have done something differently, right? And then the other one is, if not you, then who?
Okay.
Because often we're shy or we're uncertain about our capabilities and unwilling to take the challenge. So we need somebody to say, okay, if it's not you, then who? Who is really more qualified to do that job? Who really has more passion than you for that job? And often there is nobody else but us. I think those are very key things for any woman whenever you're dealing with an industry where they're not expecting you. And, you know, often, sometimes I don't know how many times I walked into a room and there'd be, you know, five guys with me and guess what? The questions go directly to the guys. And I'm like, whoa, I'm here. I'm the engineer.
Hey.
Hey. And, you know, so it's, I've come to learn that I do my best when I'm doing things that I love and I love manufacturing and I love the automotive industry. So I keep choosing to do it.
Your passion really comes through when you talk about it. And obviously a huge goal for Shannon and I on this podcast is to attract and retain more women and also diversity in the industry and show them, you know, the incredible opportunities that you have experienced and that there is passion to be found in this space. Over your time in manufacturing, have you guys taken any innovative approaches to attract more diverse candidates, particularly women?
It's twofold. One is about recruiting them. The second one is about retaining them. And I think one of the first things that we have truly done is going beyond just an engineer that's a ready engineer or somebody that's in supply chain that's ready in supply chain, but going all the way down into elementary schools to show women and minorities that these jobs are for you and you can excel in these. Because many times you don't know what you don't know. And so if you don't have anybody in your family, just like I didn't have anybody in my family that was an engineer, I could never imagine being an engineer. And so I think that's very, very important. Here in where I live today in Lexington, there is an all-girls STEM school.
Wow.
That's incredible.
That started at kindergarten.
Wow. I had no idea. That is so
And
cool.
So this is where they're in a safe environment where they don't have to worry about all the other things. Oh, does that boy like me? Does he not like me? It is all about empowering them to love what they do related to science, technology, engineering, mathematics. And it allows them from the very point of kindergarten, and now they're all the way up to, I think, third grade. I think this year is third grade. So they're adding a class every year.
That's awesome.
And so they're moving them up every year. So I think those are really cool ways that, yes, it takes a long time, but it is an important thing. The second part about retaining, we have an unbelievable affinity group, or we call business partnering group, Women Empowering Impacting Toyota, called WIT, where women are able to network and get to support one another. And plus you can get leadership roles and learn about leadership in a very safe environment. And then we have unbelievable allies that join. because I remember at one of the chapters, the secretary was a male. And I asked him, I said, why are you so involved in WIT? Mm-hmm. And he goes, because I have four daughters.
Oh, wow.
And I want to make sure I'm doing everything I can to make sure that they can exceed in everything that they do.
That's awesome.
And so there's a lot of allies out there that support women. And I think those type of organizations are very important, both for the development of women, but then also for the development of the organization.
I think one thing Shannon and I always discuss, and you had mentioned this previously, it's really exciting to see more females in leadership roles because you like to see yourself in leadership and, you know, it allows you to kind of create mentors. And it's really exciting to see that continue to grow.
It's clear that with your many years at Toyota, you've been able to get yourself into this leadership role. There's probably a lot of lessons that you've learned along the way, specifically on the topic of leadership, especially as you said, not having many female leaders around you at some points in your career. So do you have any specific leadership lessons that you would want our listeners to know for anyone who's trying to grow their career within the industry?
That's a very good question. And, you know, I sort of reflected back on my career and said, okay, what are some of the key things that allowed me the opportunities? Mm-hmm. First of all, always it's about performing. Yep. If you can't perform and deliver in your current role, likelihood you're not going to be able to really be able to jump somewhere mm-hmm. else, especially outside of your area of expertise. Mm-hmm. But then the key thing is also then is to get experiences out of the area of expertise. Mm. You can only go so far whenever you're just the expert in what you do. And so it's very important to be able to get a broader experience and different perspectives. When I took my assignment in Japan, one of the things after the end of the 3 years, I sat back and I was reflecting. Actually, I reflected every 3 months. I sat down and I actually sat down and said, okay, what did I learn? What do I want to learn? And then how is this changing my way of thinking? And the biggest thing that I learned was I didn't know what I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't know it, how do you know that you need it? And so getting out of that comfort zone is so important. So you got to take those assignments that make you feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And also with that making you feel uncomfortable, one of the key traits to success is resilience. Mm-hmm. And so you don't know what resilience you have until you are like the only one and you're thinking, oh my gosh, how in the world? You know, after my assignment in Japan, I met with the global lead of HR and I sat down and I said, man, I said, this assignment wasn't easy. And he goes, oh, it wasn't intended to be. Oh. He said, but whenever there are people that take these assignments, there's three types. Ones that will just sort of check the box and get through it. Ones that will quit. Mm-hmm. And the other ones that will have the resilience to continue to make change. And I said, well, I hope I'm the latter. And he goes, wait until your next assignment. And so that's when I got to be the president of Toyota Kentucky, Toyota's largest manufacturing facility in the world. I think those are some of the key things that I would share with any person. And the key thing is about how do you go about getting those assignments? And that goes into networking. Mm-hmm. You have to have people trust that you will achieve that. And if you're only with the people that are in your own department, well, guess what? You're only going to get those challenging assignments within your own department. Mm-hmm. So you have to create those networks so that people see you or potentially throw out your name as being that person that can take on that challenge of that project that may be brand new or need a different way of thinking and be able to bring you in. But if they don't know you,
yeah,
it's just not going to happen.
Did you, other than obviously, you know, you excelled, you performed at your job, did you find yourself in the early years of your career proactively seeking out other people in the company and networking?
Not intentionally, because that is what I needed to do for my career. Mm-hmm. I'm just highly inquisitive individual.
Yeah, I love that for you.
And in my first 3 weeks at Toyota, I was in training in Japan. You know, 2 weeks in, they put me on a plane, you're going to Japan. Awesome. And I was there with two other engineers. And their field was different than mine. They were in logistics and supply chain, where I was more on the equipment and processing side. But we went to our training together. And my boss, he had us leave voicemails every night about what we were doing and what we were learning. And I guess, into a message, I made a comment. I said, well, even though this is not my area, this is what I learned. Mm-hmm. And the voicemail I got the next morning when I woke up, he's like, every area is your area.
That's good feedback.
I was like, oh, got it. And so I was like, okay, that means he's empowering me to make action, even though it's not officially my responsibility.
Yep.
And so whenever they just opened that door, I was started freaking free to go. And so I just got really inquisitive and asking a lot of questions and wanting to learn, well, how does this connect to this? And so I was creating that network without really knowing that I was creating that network. The second part of it is I was very lucky in the fact that I was one of the first 200 people hired at a plant that is now like 6,500 people. Wow. And so when you're in that small of a group, you really are able to create a very strong network. And and many of those members have expanded and gone across the United States in different roles. And then, of course, my assignment in Japan got me a whole global network that I never, ever imagined.
That's incredible. So changing directions a little bit, and I'm sure you've seen this more than ever in your current role, but you know, the automotive industry is rapidly evolving in terms of technology and sustainability. How do you envision women's contributions to the future of the automotive manufacturing sector?
This is a very good question. And one is, there are amazing women already in these roles that are having an impact. Within, you know, Toyota, of course, and myself and my role, I think about Leah Curry, who's the president of the Indiana facility, Jeanette Hostler, who's our senior vice president of our joint venture in Mazda. The person in Japan right now leading our charge for our battery manufacturing for our facility in North Carolina, our first Toyota facility in the United States to build battery cells, is a woman.
Wow.
So, you know, besides being there and doing the work, they are definitely, and actually our production engineering is led for that plant, also is led by a woman. They're there, right? But then also I think we bring some unique skill sets that are very important. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's very scary to make this huge leap, especially for a company that has been doing something for so long. Yeah. And so we have innate capabilities for empathy. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when you want to make change, it's very important to have empathy to where people are today to help them get to be where we need to be in the future. And so I think that's also very important. One of the traits that we have. And also we are very good multitaskers.
Yes.
And there's an unbelievable amount of tasks to be done. And then on the other side, I mean, I'm looking at it from the manufacturing side. But, you know, in the industry, in the auto industry, women are the majority in the decision-making related to automobiles. Mm-hmm. And so if they are the ones that are the customers, who knows that customer better than us, right?
Absolutely.
And how they're used and how they're needed. And so I think there's just an unbelievable amount of impact that our women are going to be having on a transformation to electrification.
I really enjoyed hearing you speak about the empathy part, especially just you would think something that would sound so black and white, like you said, transitioning an industry to a new power source, you wouldn't think empathy is one of the first qualities of how to get through that transition. But it's really cool to hear you talk about that, because you're definitely right.
Yeah. And can I just hit on that? Yeah. Because especially on the manufacturing side, you think about where our plants are. They've been building engines.
Yeah.
We've been building engines in the United States for 35 years.
Yep.
Well, as that transitions, they're not going to be building engines. Mm-hmm. They're building batteries. And, you know, when we have members that are moving locations
and it can be scary.
Mm-hmm. It's huge and scary, right? And it's not about just getting the task done. For Toyota to be success, we believe in the Toyota way, mm-hmm. which has the respect for people. And that means that we have to bring everybody along with us. We're not going to leave any of our customers out. That's why we have a portfolio of products, but the same thing for our team members. We're not going to leave them behind. We're going to help. They're going to be the strength that gets us through, because they have the energy and the passion to make it happen.
Absolutely.
Good for you in leading through that change, because it's scary for all the individuals involved. And then you're kind of leading the charge and making sure everyone is comfortable along the way. So
kind of taking that to the next level in your role, what do you see kind of Toyota's role in leading the supply for electric vehicles? What does that look like?
Toyota is in a very unique condition. We've, you know, been very successful in our traditional ICE and hybrids. Mm-hmm. And I think hybrids is definitely something that is like the first step for a lot of consumers, right? I'm not sure about this electrification. What is that? And hybrids are really a good way to make that first step. And our hybrid sales have continued to just grow. And we have products that are just 100% hybrid available mm-hmm. now. And then the second part of it is then providing that portfolio of options for our consumers to know that, hey, what is right for you, we have for you. So we have our plug-in hybrids, we have our fuel cells, and then we also have our full BEVs. And we're taking a little bit of different approach on our BEVs mm-hmm. than maybe some of the other makers, and the fact that we see it as a transition. So our first BEVs are more similar to a traditional vehicle mm-hmm. so that, hey, I'm changing my battery to a battery, but yes, I'm still being able to drive my car like I drive my yep. car. But then we're going to take the leap forward. We're going to make a big leap in some of our products coming out here in the near future that really take on the long range mm-hmm. and performance that we know our consumers are going to want in the future. So like I said, I think it's one of the key things is that we want to bring all our customers along with mm-hmm. us on a way to electrification. And this is one of the ways that we can do that. And also, as you're looking at our consumers, it's not just the person driving the car. It's also about the large trucks that are on our roads, in our logistics space. We use a lot of ways to move people and to move product. So then how do we also change all those fleets over mm-hmm. to be in a full electrified future? So we're very broad in our perspectives. And I think that's one of the key things about Toyota is they're taking that full portfolio approach versus just one. And then the second part of it is that Toyota has done so much research. If you look at the number of patents that Toyota has in solid state batteries and it goes back for 20 years, I have high confidence in our ability to make some of those leaps in the future.
So Susan, beyond your direct role at Toyota, have you been involved in any initiatives or programs aimed at promoting diversity and equality in the automotive industry? If so, could you tell us a little bit about it and the impact on you personally and on the industry as a whole?
So outside my role at Toyota, where I am fully engaged both in our manufacturing, but then also in promotion of programs that really support women and other minorities to excel to their highest. There are some really great programs in the industry and then also just out and about. One of the ones that we're really proud of is our partnership with the Manufacturing Institute with Women Make America. We've had many women recognized in that, and it's a great way to create networks in within the manufacturing world and to be able to help each other and learn and to promote. And then also, of course, we have Women in Manufacturing, and then also the Automotive Women's Society that we've been partners with. And these are great programs that we've used to help develop up-and-coming leaders, but then also to help to learn from each other in our industries and challenge ourselves in the technical side of our business. And I encourage any woman that's out there to be able to join something where you can learn in a safe environment with other women. Mm-hmm. And then also you get to talk about the things that you enjoy. And guess what? Women are very diverse in themselves.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So you might not say, hey, I'm not sure about that. I think I fit better over here. But guess what? There are like gearheads. People that are going to be wanting to talk about, hey, what about the hairstyles? I mean, there's a wide range of everybody that's there. But the thing is that we're all very passionate about what we do. Yeah. In the world of manufacturing and then also with automotive.
And bring unique perspectives. Absolutely.
I feel like I have learned so much in this conversation, and I'm so excited for our listeners because from the different women who are kind of already in this space that you've been able to highlight through this and all of these different programs, I think our listeners will just have a lot of like, even if they're not in the manufacturing space, just eye-opening moments of, oh, I didn't even know these resources were available. So that's really exciting. But are there any just key takeaways that if someone is listening to this interview, that any words of wisdom, any life mottos, anything like
life
lessons that you would want to really drive home for our listeners?
I think the one takeaway, if I could tell women, the one takeaway I would say is lift each other up. This is not a competition amongst women. It is about women lifting each other up because we will make change when we do it together. Just like I said earlier in the podcast is like Q-tip, quit taking it personally. Mm-hmm. And if not you, then who? And I see you guys, Shannon and Kathleen, you're already here. You guys are lifting each other up. Can you do that? You know? Yeah. I mean, and you have the energy then, right? If you have energy, imagine what you can do. And so then how do we inspire each other to really make a difference? And that's why I'm excited to be on this link today and to talk to all the women that are out there.
We're so glad to have you. This has been incredible.
As our final question, we like to ask this. So if you, in a different world, were the owner of a of a dealership, probably a Toyota dealership in your case, what would you want as your ideal waiting room snack for all of your customers while they wait for service? And you can dream big here.
Oh, wow. I can dream.
You can go as crazy as you want.
Oh, as crazy as you want. Actually, I am one that I would want like a little bit of a smorgasbord. Mm-hmm. I want to where, hey, you got like the standard, you know, salty and sweet type of snack that you have. Mm-hmm. But then you got to have something that makes people go, ooh, I don't know if I really want to try that. That sounds really crazy.
But they will remember it.
Yeah. It's a small piece. I'm going to try it, right? I mean, I remember the first time I tried bacon and peanut butter together. I'm like, are you serious? But it is unbelievable. So you got to give that little safe thing just so that it can go, oh, yeah, I can do that one. But then, because it's all about taking you out of the comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
So that, you know, if you have a dealer, you know, ship and you're like, hey, you know, yeah, you always drive that Lexus ES, that's a great car, but you want to go try this one over here, a little sporty. It's kind of like sports cube.
The smorgasbord answer kind of sounds like Toyota's product portfolio, right? There's a little something for everyone. So you kind of mirrored that in your
Yeah,
your
you're like,
answer.
Hey, you came in to drive a Camry, but hey, we got this BEB over here. We really think you ought to try. Hey, you just tried those snacks. So you can sort of watch them as they try the snacks, but how far are they willing to go on the snacks?
That's the bacon and peanut butter eater. Maybe that's who you serve up the new technology to.
The BEB too.
Well, like Kat said, this has been just such a pleasure. We have learned so much. I can't wait to dive into all of this for our listeners. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys doing this. As I said, it's so important for women to lift up women. And just if somebody can take a bit of advice from me today, I did what I did.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. What a conversation. I am so grateful to Susan for being so generous with her time today and sharing her experiences with us. So many lessons and takeaways. Shan, where do we even begin with breaking that down?
You know, like you said, thank you to Susan. I know we both enjoyed that so much. I gotta say, I loved her answer for what her waiting room snack would be. That was a highlight for me. Using snacks as a way to learn about your customers is truly genius. But I know what you mean. Let's get into the good stuff. Kat, what was your biggest takeaway?
I think for me, it was Susan's emphasis on empathy. She believes that women have this innate capacity for empathy. And in her new leadership role, I think she's really come to realize how crucial this quality is, especially when navigating through times of change, which, you know, she's doing for thousands of individuals. So,
yeah. And I think we have kind of touched on empathy in previous episodes. So it was really cool to just see that like emphasized by someone in such an awesome leadership position of how she sees that even relevant to her. So that was really cool. I think the next nugget I took away was, if not you, then who? Which as soon as she said it, it immediately popped into my brain of like, that is such a good strategy for imposter syndrome, which I know Kat, you and I can both relate to sometimes. Just those feelings of self-doubt. And she kind of just said, ask yourself, like, who's going to do this job if not me? Who's going to do it better than me? And why do I think that? And then once you're kind of thinking about that, it was just so cool to hear how she was just, you have to show up authentically. And it's very clear that over Susan's career, she's just developed such a sense of confidence of what she brings to the table. And that means that she shows up authentically as herself every time. I did laugh hearing that early in her career, she cut her hair and learned to play golf. Kathleen, it made me think of your pheasant hunting story, which I don't know if you want to share with the listeners.
Yes, I'll give a quick synopsis. So for all the listeners out there, at one point early in my career, I felt this need to go on a pheasant hunting trip to be quote unquote one of the boys. And of course, they made sure to give me the pretty pink gun.
Aww, how sweet. So even when you were trying to fit in and be one of the boys, you still found a way to stand out.
Yep, exactly. But you know what? I survived. I'm stronger for it. So it is what it is.
Well, and I think you embodied in that story one of Susan's other lessons, which I loved, which was Q-tip, quit taking it personally. I'm glad she highlighted this because I know I could relate to it, especially just as a younger person who is newer to the industry. Sometimes there can be just such a drive to prove yourself and build your credibility as you grow in your career. And if you're not careful, that can lead to you taking things personally because you're like I said, you just have that drive But sometimes you just need a Q-tip. You just need to quit taking it personally. It's just business, baby, and that's okay.
Lastly, let's not forget Susan's final point. And we'd love to end on this as well, with lifting each other up. Mm-hmm. I think in an industry where women, especially women in leadership, are so underrepresented, it's so crucial that we support and root for one another. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to find mentors. We need to be mentors ourselves. And I think that's a part of the goal of this podcast.
Absolutely. And speaking of lifting up, why don't our listeners lift us up a little bit? Please be sure to share this episode with your friends, your family, any females in your life that you think could benefit from hearing Susan's awesome perspective.
And males, anyone. Send it to anyone.
Send it to anyone.
As always, people can find us on Instagram at GetInHerLane or our website, GetInHerLane.com.
That is right. And as always, we would love if you left us a review. Maybe share your version of your pink gun pheasant hunting story with us. If you've got one, we'd love to hear it. Thanks, everyone. See you next time.